Here's a statement for you. Small things become large in the hand of God. That basically tells me I don't really have much going for me, but God's got it all. And He is willing to do with us and for us for whatever we need. In the following text that we're going to be dealing with today, we can see a principle of how small acts of faith from a mother and a grandmother can change the world. I'm going to tell you what, you can have daddies all over the house, but when you get a mama put in there, it's going to change the world. You believe that's true? If you're a mother or a grandmother, father or a grandfather, mom or dad, these texts are for you. Okay? Typically, we like to see huge actions or great things happen, but overlook things that are smaller. If I'm not mistaken, there are places where it says, go to the ant. We like great things. We like things to happen. And we often overlook the smaller things. In Acts chapter 16, 1-5, Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was a Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. In that day and time, when you had one that's a Jew and the other's a Greek, you got an unsettled household typically. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him, and Paul wanted to take him along on a journey. So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decision reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith, and they grew daily in numbers. Now, since we're discussing a Jewish-Greek mix in the bloodline of this young man, Timothy, we should be remembering that this is a door that was opened to him when the very prejudiced Peter set himself and his culture aside and baptized Cornelius. You remember that? At first, when he wanted to be baptized, he said, I ain't doing it. Have you ever said about something, I'm not doing it? I will not do that. Well, he had to change his mind. In Acts 10, he opened the gospel to the Gentiles. That's what happened here. I love going back into the early part of the building of the church. You had all of these people from all over the world and all of these nations. You had all kind of people everywhere. But when it got going, it took off in a mighty powerful way. Timothy was Paul's special chosen, I think I said, and he was close to his side. I mean, that boy didn't leave Paul at all. They were kind of cronies. And he was a running partner for the ministry. And not only that, but a dear friend. Well, you get all that kind of mix going on, you got a good thing going. He was the son of a Jewish mother and a Gentile father, which was some very different things from the way things were normally done in the Jewish world. If you look at it closely and in the reality of the situation, two other Jews saw him and they branded him a half-breed. And I'll tell you, people can't help who birthed them. If a person is of a different ethnic, it's not about that. It's about God is who created the people on this earth, yes or no. If God thought it was all right, who am I to say something about somebody else that God created? He was a mixed breed, and Timothy made the choice to follow his Jewish half more than his Gentile half. I can see how that could be a problem, but they seem to work out. 2 Timothy 1:1-7, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace and mercy and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling you in my tears, I long to see you so that you may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. Now we've got some things going on here where you're building and getting ready for something bigger to happen. For this reason, I remind you to fan the flame of the gift of God which is in you, the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord Jesus and of me as a prisoner. Rather, join me in the suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. Do you hear that? God already had it worked out before the beginning of time. That means I don't have to go begging. I just need to say, what happened here? Show me what you've done, or let me see, or maybe I'll just see. But God makes it clear what He wants out of us. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed as a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. And I'm convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him until that day. Now, if you think about this real close, just listen to what this text said. Has God already worked on you? Can God be working on you even if you've never been baptized yet? And what the baptism does is critical. You understand that, right? It's critical because the baptism thing is not because you get so wet and, you know, you're so good at drying off. It's because you join God in a covenant. And it's God's covenant, not yours. And that's what makes it good, because it doesn't mess up because we did something wrong. Do you know that every time you make a blunder, anybody in here ever make a blunder? Do you know that the covenant God gave us in baptism bought us everything He will ever give us? That's a marvelous thing. That's why the covenant thing is so critical. Timothy had grown up in the hands of these two women. Now, this is Eunice and Lois. If you go back and read through the New Testament again, you'll find all this Lois and all these guys. Timothy had grown up in the hands of these women and had known no other way to live except by faith. How would you like to live in an environment where everybody was like this woman had taught Timothy to be exceptional in their faith? He reached in and acknowledged the awesome impact of his mother Eunice and grandmother Lois had done in their life. We're all curious about things, but these two godly women helped this young man to get to life. And in the process of this, once he was out on his own, doing what God had called him to do, he made a powerful mark in the world. How would you like to know that you made a powerful mark in the world? In churchendom, for you understand the term churchendom, right? That's what you don't know what to call it, but it's in that genre. God was constantly moving people to do things, and you would see these different things. And all of those little Sunday school lessons we learned back in before the beginning of time, it seems like that long ago, all those little things that those mothers and fathers had taught those kids over those years, they know what they're doing. That can explode right now into something great if it's channeled correctly. It was a dual motherhood with this. Paul evidently had a close relationship with these women for him to know the inner workings of their home. I mean, he had to know that because he was very, very confident in and around the home. This is not a casual opinion here, but it seems to be a firsthand view of a home life of this family. You don't get to see that much. There's a lot of things happening in the Bible, and if you've read it once, twice, 100 times, how many times you've read it, I don't know, but it always stands up there. 2 Timothy 3:14-16, "But as for you, continue in what you learned and what you've been convinced of, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures." Now, how on earth are you going to have a baby and have that baby up in your arm and have somebody say that you have known these Scriptures your whole life? "They were able to make you wise to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Realizing that what they were doing or not, Eunice and Lois had loved and instructed this young man and had prepared him for a ministry in the future, with or without all the details. Some might believe that God came to them and gave them the great specific instructions to prepare this young man for ministry. I don't know. I'm going to tell you what. There's males in this room. We're basically dumb. It's the women that's got the smarts. Typically, I know guys don't hit me, but I'm telling you the truth. And all you got to do is, when you can't find it, ask her anything, and she will know. These two women, whether they understood at all what they were doing, transferred their faith into Timothy. This is what God ordained. This is the way God wanted it done. In the beginning, Timothy was about to step out into the world that was basically rejecting God, and the preparation of these women had provided for him, and it kind of took what the women had done to these people and shaped them to do it right. Can you just shape somebody and do it right and they not know it? Is that possible? Can you suggest something to somebody and they'll say, "Oh yeah, that's a better idea"? That happens 1,000 times a day. And do you know that's what these loving women were doing and getting these guys where they can go out there and do this work and change the world? These two women knew and understood that their lives were small. A small life of great faithfulness can change the world. Nothing was recorded about Lois and Eunice taking on the world to teach the gospel to every nation. But it was those who went through their process. That's how the gospel got to be known all over the world. There are books of the Bible in whatever rendition, whatever nationality there is. There's books like this called a Bible in every place you could go on this earth anymore. How did that get there? Well, we shipped all that over on a boat. No, you didn't. Somebody took that under their arm, most likely. They read it while they was on a boat, most likely. And they processed it then, and then they showed other people that, and that's how all of that got done. All we can do from these texts is to know that Timothy was taught by these two godly women and was prepared to be a vessel to be used by God through Paul, which have tremendous effect upon the world. The Apostle Paul, let me tell you something. We love the people in the Bible. The Apostle Paul is one of the giants in the New Testament, yes or no. But I can tell you this, they didn't like him. A lot of times they tried to kill him. Now, if they're trying to kill you, they must not want you alive. You don't have to like me. You have to love me. And you don't have to like my ways. And that's okay. We'll never know what God can do or will do with our obedience. If you say today, I'm an obedient servant, what's the probability of you breaking that oath? It's pretty high. But you know what's good? It's easy to get it right back. When we follow Him, leading others to His truths and His saving gospel, we can be confident that we are joining the ranks of the women of sincere faith. In Acts chapter 8, verse 2, beginning, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candace, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip said. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless I have someone explain it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak for his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or somebody else?' And Philip began at that very same passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here's water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing." This boy wasn't looking for this. He wasn't asking for this. He wasn't necessarily wanting this, but when you got something good out there, what do people do? They want some of that. I want to be part of that. I love songs that talk, I want to be in the number. You know, it doesn't matter to me if I'm first or last, but I want to be in the number. I want to be a part of the family. The family of God is not a bunch of people in one little old spot in Louisiana. When I'm talking about being in a spot, I'm talking about being in a spot. I want to be a part of the world that's saying something to the world and saying, I want to be involved in this. I have no interest of getting too old to go to the assembly. Now, here's what I know is going to happen. Because Alan does all that stomping he does up here, he's going to wear his leg out. I'm wearing out anyway. Some of you are wearing out. We need to start reading that song, I Just Want to Be in That Number, because we're getting close, bud. You know that, right? Especially you, we noticed. I love you. I've been with you for 180 years at sea, and I just want to be in that number. But I have a God who's on my side, and He's on your side, and nobody can take you out of His hands. Nobody. And the church said,